This is Sibios, your source for public affairs research. A podcast from the Humphrey School of Public Affairs at the University of Minnesota. Today we are talking with Professor Anu Ramaswamy of the Humphrey School of Public Affairs. She is a leading scholar on sustainable urban infrastructure, and in this podcast we will be talking with Professor Ramaswamy about measuring carbon and air pollution co-benefits and trade-offs using footprints. In the previous podcast, we talked about specific urban planning strategies that encourage cross-sector collaboration. Now I'd like to talk about the added benefits of carbon mitigation, or what is called the co-benefits. Can you talk about why there are air pollution co-benefits associated with carbon mitigation?
One of the most important takeaways is all of those infrastructure sectors. In a previous podcast, we talked about our energy supply systems, our heating and cooling systems, our building construction, transportation, waste management systems, food supply systems. These six or seven sectors really contribute to carbon emissions, and because they use fossil fuels, they also contribute to air pollution from burning fossil fuels. And these air pollutants, and you just talked about a recent report, I mean, it's a shocking finding, something that we've known for the past 5 or 6 years, that the burden of disease globally has shifted from communicable diseases like cholera and malaria to non-communicable diseases caused by environmental factors. And what has happened is, because more and more people have come to cities with this wave of urbanization, much of this happening in Asia and Africa, but also air pollution is an issue in every country. We have a lot of people in cities that are exposed to high levels of pollution from these seven or eight sectors that I just spoke about. So, for example, indoor air pollution is from cooking using coal, charcoal, firewood, or dung cakes. And you have to cook to eat. And a lot of people get exposed, especially women and children. You have traffic emissions from tailpipes of cars that causes high levels of pollution. You have agriculture burning outside of the city boundary that blows into the city. And so it's really, while we know that they're all fundamentally rooted to these seven sectors, it's hard to understand spatially how this plays out, because not only do we have emissions, you also have wind transporting them. And as I mentioned, you have cities using electricity that's produced in a power plant outside. So how do you actually work the complexity of cities drawing in fuels through their supply chains? Those fuels are burnt outside the boundary, and cities might do a lot to reduce their energy use. But then you also have other emissions outside the boundary from agricultural burning that just blows into the city. So how do you really connect the efforts to reduce carbon emissions, which is a global pollutant? So for carbon, it doesn't matter where the emissions are to a large extent. But how do you then connect that with where people are living, where they're breathing, and where the dirty air is being produced and blown around? And that's where air pollution modeling comes in. And so this combination of carbon footprinting and air dispersion is a model we've developed called CFAD, Carbon Footprinting Air Dispersion Modeling, that tries to work out the science of connecting carbon emissions related with urban infrastructure with the dynamics of air pollution from those very same infrastructure sectors.
Where has the science been on measuring co-benefits before?
A lot of times when you hear about the social cost of carbon, as an example, people are talking about, if you reduce carbon emissions, what might be the benefits from a climate perspective? And often some of those benefits are things you expect to see because they're the reductions of future harms in future years. Whereas with air pollution, the benefits are now, because people are being exposed to these pollutants now. And they're also at particular locations where lots of people are concentrated. So where the science was previously is you had an assessment at the national level that would say, here are the things that you could avoid by improving the climate impacts of carbon emissions. And then they could make sort of a diffused assessment of the health benefits, but at a much larger grid. If you think about dividing your country into grids, it would tell you on a big grid, 40 to 50 kilometer by 40 to 50 kilometer, where people might be affected. But with this approach, you could look at these multiple cities. For example, we studied 637 cities, and we modeled what these cities might expect at their location. And we found that there's potential to avoid 45,000 premature deaths from just the cross-sectoral strategies of using waste, heat, and energy in urban districts' heating and cooling systems.
Can you talk about how local health impacts can be a motivator for low-carbon development in places that might not pursue carbon mitigation?
Absolutely. And this is the cost of lives saved now is huge. And this is exactly why we think that, in fact, health could be the primary motivator and carbon may become a co-benefit if we think of designing healthy cities. So you could think of designing and implementing a healthy low-carbon city program and prioritize health first. And who could argue against that? And you would also get, for many of these strategies, if you design them well, thinking about the carbon co-benefits, you can achieve both. This is a big takeaway that health is, in fact, a large motivator for some of the structural changes we're seeing. And we're seeing this in many countries where they're recognizing this really can't go on. I mean, you have virtually in some of our visits with people in cities affected by air pollution, we've had a conversation, just like you and I, sitting across the table where I've heard people say, you know, Anu, we know that our life is going to be cut short by several years because we live in the city. And that's a powerful motivator for doing the sorts of things that you might hesitate or balk at for doing for some future benefit, which is not to say that climate co-benefits are not important. They both are important. But the magnitude of air pollution challenge is immense. The United Nations is actually launching the next year as a zero pollution initiative to really think of the number of lives that can be saved by thinking about urban planning and city planning in a very physical and structured way can really provide all sorts of health benefits.
Well, thanks so much for talking with us on these specific issues related to carbon mitigation as we work towards a more stable climate. Thank you for listening to another podcast from Civios, an initiative of the Humphrey School of Public Affairs at the University of Minnesota. To learn more about this segment, please visit civios.umn.edu.